Well, theoretically, we're in the middle of our preaching series, which is from going from becoming a disciple to Christ to becoming an apostle. And today is the second Sunday we're talking about it, but we have a different context, which is this weekend. We also have some guests, so, and we're doing it in English, so we're going to change a few things. And it has to be shorter. They were making jokes on Friday. Father started off the homily on Friday, and Father Timo...
Hard facts.
And, he gave the hard facts. He said, well, you're going to hear a 1-minute homily today from him, a 10-minute homily yesterday from another legionary, and 20 minutes on Sunday from Father George. And I said, well, no, they have to be at their, you know, on their boat at 1 o'clock, so we can't do that. But anyway, a few ideas, because normally we do a 20-minute homily. Sometimes it gets longer. So... anyway, maybe a couple of ideas. First idea is, I think today's gospel is about a wake-up call. You know, I don't know if you've ever thought about what would you do if you have an experience of you're not getting breath and you have extreme pain in your chest. Well, I would call a doctor pretty quickly, you know. Or if you realize that, you know, your financial investment is going down the drain and you really need to react today. If you don't, you're going to be in big trouble. Will you just, well, go on a vacation and not worry about it? No. I mean, there's certain things, be it about our health, be it about our money especially, be it about certain things, you know, that we react immediately. There's no waiting. There's no, not even a question if you're going to do something or not do something, right? And we have a situation like that today in the gospel, because we hear how this Christ is, I mean, what is he, he's underscoring, he's, this story seems horrible on the one hand. No, he said, what is Jesus saying, well, it's okay what this guy did? Well, he's not saying it's okay what he did, but he commended him for one thing, he acted. He was in a really bad situation, he was just about to lose his job and not to have anything. And he thought, okay, what am I going to do? Maybe it was a kind of a panic kind of a situation, but it was really prudent, because even it seems at the end his boss was happy for what he did. You know, he commended him for his shrewdness of acting. And Christ then says, well, I'm not saying you should be doing unjust things, but what this guy really understood is when there's a wake-up call, you act. You know, you do something. And I think today when we're speaking about this, like, how do you become, last week we were speaking about commitment to mercy. And today we want to speak, well, what is another step? What makes an apostle an apostle? What are some aspects of his life that makes him different? No, that maybe somebody who just goes through life and, well, I think today he's somebody who's prepared to act. When God calls, he acts. He doesn't say, well, okay, maybe tomorrow or maybe next week or maybe, you know, in 3 months' time. No, he said, I'm going to act. Why? Because he's realized that what we're talking about here, eternal life, holiness, making an impact in this world, bringing people to Jesus, is not just something that has an importance way down here, but it's the most important thing in life. It's even more important than my money, and it's even more important than my health. And this is what I think Christ is trying to commend. And it's not just, you know, well, maybe I can do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, a little bit of yin and a little bit of yang. But he says very clearly at the end, you cannot serve God and money. He's asking us to make a decision, either or. And this morning I ran into C.S. Lewis, the introduction to his The Great Divorce. Blake wrote The Marriage of Heaven and Hell. If I have written of their divorce, this is not because I think myself a fit antagonist for so great a genius, the guy who wrote this, nor even because I feel at all sure that I know what he meant. I hope he didn't mean what he really said. But in some sense or other, the attempt to make the marriage between heaven and hell is perennial. The attempt is based on the belief that reality never presents us with an absolutely unavoidable either or. Rather, that granted skill and patience, and above all, time enough, some way of embracing both alternatives, a little bit of hell, a little bit of heaven, can always be found. That mere development or adjustment or refinement will somehow turn evil into good without our being called on for a final and total rejection of anything we should like to attain. This belief I take to be a disastrous error. No? Is that total filler? You cannot take all luggage with you on all journeys. On one journey, even your right hand and your right eye might be among the things you have to leave behind. Now, Jesus sometimes there in his gospel is pretty radical, right? When he speaks, if your right eye, you know, is keeping you from going to heaven, well, pluck it out. If your right arm, and he's like, what are you? Are you advocating, you know, that we should take off limbs of our body? Well, obviously not. But he's saying we're talking about a radical decision. This is not, you know, well, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's something either or. We are not living in a world where all roads are radii of a circle and where all, if followed long enough, will therefore draw gradually nearer and finally meet at the center. Rather, we live in a world where every road after a few miles forks into two. In each of those, into two again. And each fork, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. Which road am I going to go? Am I going to go right or am I going to go left? Even on the biological level, life is not like a river but like a tree. It does not move towards unity but away from it, and the creatures grow further apart as they increase in perfection. Good, as it ripens, becomes continually more different, not only from evil but from the other good. And then he goes on to say, I do not think that all who chose wrong roads perish, but their rescue consists in being brought back on the right road. Some cannot be right. No, and then he goes on to say, well, if you have a mathematical equation and you somehow make a mistake, trying to figure out where the mistake was, you don't just keep going, but you have to find out where was the error, and you have to go back there. And he's saying, if you make all these forks and you've gone on the wrong road and you've come to Europe and you end up in Helsinki and actually you want to be in Melk, well, where did we do something wrong? It's not just you just keep going, well, okay, at some point, you know, Earth is round, I guess, so at some point we're going to end up in Melk. So, no, it's to figure out where did I make the mistake and go back. No? So I think, I mean, C.S. Lewis, I really like his whole book, by the way, is really recommendable. But this last quote of Jesus, it's either or. No, it's God or yourself, your own egotism, what, you know, your plan for your life. And I think the apostle is someone who's made a commitment. Last week we talked about the commitment to mercy. And this week, I think, a definite commitment to make God the first thing in our lives. An apostle is someone who said, I want to make God first in my life. And he's going to have his hierarchy of values. And he's going to have God on the top. And then he's going to see where is my health and where is my money and where are my friendships and where are my talents and where are my capacities. And I'm going to say God is first. And God, to make God first, right? One thing we talked about on this weekend, well, the first thing, it's not necessary to do something, to do thousands of things. The first thing to put God first means that I'm going to have a strong relationship with him. And I'm going to allow myself to be loved by him. And I'm going to allow myself to believe that he loves me in an unconditional type of way. And I'm going to find time in my schedule for making God first, for giving him time in my life. And I'm going to allow him to work in me and his spirit to work in me. And we're going to call upon his spirit so that he fills us into, like we were saying yesterday, that we really believe that he can change us, that he can transform us from within. And that he can really come and not just say, well, okay, come Holy Spirit, but I don't really mean it. But I say, yes, come Holy Spirit with all your gifts and fill me and permeate me and show me what you want of me in my life. And then, once we've placed this firm foundation, I'm loved by God. I don't have to buy God's love for me with some kind of actions and apostolic actions and whatever. I'm loved already. I don't need to produce anything to buy his love. But out of this, being gifted by God and his knowledge that, wow, you know, I'm so amazed at what he's done in my life, well, then I begin to allow God to act through me for others. No. There's an old phrase about what is an apostle. It comes from St. Thomas Aquinas. And in Latin it says, contemplata aliis tradere. And that means that which you have contemplated to give it on to others. To pass on what I've received in prayer, what I've received in the sacraments, what I've received in my study of the Bible and in our common path and going this way, you know, doing these also together through my brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, I want to pass that on to others. And hopefully we as a community, as a Center John Paul II in Vienna, we can be examples, no, for the world of people who have really said, I've decided for God. It's not, we're in kind of Jaingesellschaft, no? Wir sind nicht, that's a great thing you can do in German, you can't do in English. It's like, it's a mix of the two words of no and yes, you know? And a lot of times you want to be kind of, well, are you going to choose? Well, I want both. I want both sides. And you can't do that. Christian, that's not Christianity. Christianity is yes to the light, all of it, and not keeping a little bit of darkness, nothing of darkness, but saying yes to God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength.